Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Jason Adams. Lord be with you, Brother Jason.
I know I'm not literally, figuratively between you and the door, so I do intend to be up here a very short time. I feel empty, and I don't know, I do know how to feel it, but I know I don't have the ability. But I thank God that He has given us this opportunity to come here together, to assemble ourselves, to lift our voices up, sing praises. I want to just look at a little bit, what a little time we're here together, look at a little bit of the second chapter of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Colossians. I know I've spoken on this before. It really strikes me every time I read it. In the second chapter of the letter to the Colossians, the Apostle Paul writes, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joined and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hand, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead." It seems like the Apostle Paul could have written that yesterday. We have exactly in our midst, in our congregations, in the world today, exactly what the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Laodicea or at Colossae about here. You know, there's a lot out here in the world that is directly opposed to everything that's called God. There is a spirit of Antichrist out here that exalts himself above everything that is called God and promotes himself above everything that is called God. There is a spirit, a tempter, an enemy out here that is subtle. And for the children of God, when he tempts the children of God, he doesn't bring any railing accusations. He just inserts a little bit into the truth here and a little bit into the truth there. When he came up in the garden and beguiled Eve, he didn't say, "No, the Lord is wrong." He didn't say, "The Lord said white and I'm saying black." He didn't totally change the words. All he did was add one little word. That when Eve said, "No, we're not supposed to touch of this fruit or eat of it, because in the day that we do, we'll surely die." And he said, "You'll not surely die." Just wouldn't. A little bit. What we find today, what we often find today, is men inserting just a little bit into the truth of God. The apostle wrote here that that he has a conflict for those in Colossae and in Laodicea. He says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. You know, it was and I remember how long ago it was. It was a while ago, 20 years ago, in fact, that I was given a gift, and the gift, well, the same year I was given this gift. It's my watch that my wife gave me for my graduation. But I was given a gift more precious than that, because I had an experience of grace, and I had, in my mind, I had all sorts of things that I believed, sincerely believed. I had all sorts of things that I had heard, and I heard things, and I would say, well, that sounds right. That sounds right. You've got to do this or do that. The Lord is calling you to repentance. And so you've got to give yourself to the Lord. Let me tell you, though, brothers and sisters, there is a deliverance in the full understanding of the gospel. There is a deliverance in the knowledge that the Lord has given Himself to us and has given Himself for us. And so there's nothing else that we have or we need to do to save ourselves from hell and to heaven and immortal glory. There is such a weight that is lifted off of the little child of God when we find out that there's nothing that we can do. Because if there was something that we could do to qualify ourselves for heaven, there is something that we could do to disqualify ourselves, and we would have done that long ago. He says, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, Brother Jonathan mentioned it. You know how many times God has been wrong and man has been right? Well, there is none. And you know how many times man has been wrong and God has been right? And the answer is every time. There are things that are set before us now in this modern time that men or women, women or men, there are things that are set before us that fly in the face of the things that God has set down. Yea, but let God be true and every man a liar. Let me tell you that my God has never, as Brother Stan said, been surprised. Nothing has ever just occurred to my God. So He says, oh, wait a minute. I just thought of this. The apostle says, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, the thing that brings me peace and makes me stop worrying a lot is just the realization that I don't know anything. And I can't know anything. Or I can't know much. You know, I heard a, and I probably mentioned this before, I heard a couple of old brethren, they talked face to face and then went back and forth with letter and on the phone and email and everything else. And it took them about, I think it was 2 weeks or so, going back and forth, because one of them had an idea of when the angels were created, on what day the angels were created. And the other one said, no, that's not right. Because he had an idea of when the angels were created. And they went back and forth for about 2 weeks trying to convince each other of when the angels were created. And at the end of the 2 weeks, they finally agreed that they were created sometime between the first day and the sixth. Because that's when God made everything. There are some things that we'll never know. But we can be comforted knowing that God knows all things. And the apostle says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit. Join and behold in your order. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I often wonder what the Lord would think of us and our service and our zeal and the things that we try to do in His name and so often fail to do. You know, the Lord Jesus, when He was talking to the churches, He gave a message to the angel of the church at Ephesus. And he praised them because they had done a number of things through the grace of God. They had done a number of things. They had stood against a number of doctrines. They had done a number of things that God had bidden them, but he said there was one thing that he had against them, and that was that they had left their first love. And he says, remember therefore from where you've fallen, right? And do the first works. I'll tell you that there was a time in my life, and I wish to God that he would rekindle that, because there was a time when I felt like the prophet when he tried to quit preaching, and he said it felt like fire shut up in my bones. The Lord will kindle such a fire in his people that you can't stop talking about the Lord. You can't stop, you know, brother Gary here today, I thought he was going to start jumping up and down because the Spirit had so overwhelmed him. The Lord will get in his children and he will kindle a fire in us like nothing we've ever seen. But I will tell you that this old body wants to drag me down all the time. All the time. When I get up, this old body wants to drag me down. I'll tell you also that there are many things that have come upon us. If you look at the history of the Old Baptist Church, there are many things that have come up in us and caused splits and caused divisions among us. Those, all of those things, every one of them, every instance of that was, if you want to look and say, well, who was at fault? Well, we were at fault. We, because of the hardness of our hearts, because we had to have pride, or we wanted glory, or we wanted our say to do this or that, we were at fault. I will tell you that if anything comes up among us, if anything comes up that we say, is this right or wrong? The one thing that we should ask every time, and you can tell every time whether it's right or wrong, well, does it begin and end with Christ? The Apostle Paul says, look, I would that you would be rooted and established in Christ Jesus, in the faith that you had once delivered. If it doesn't begin and if it doesn't end with Jesus Christ, I don't want to have anything to do with
Amen.
It. Anything at all. He says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. He said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after their tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I attended a church out in a congregation out in Indiana. It wasn't an old Baptist church. It was a non-denominational church, and but there was no old Baptist church there. I wanted somewhere to go, and all the other kids there and where I was going to college were going to this place, so I went along. And I will tell you that when we would talk, when the pastor would preach, well, when he would talk, you know, I won't say preach, because much of the time what he was doing was not preaching. It was just talking. What I distinctly got the impression of was that they didn't believe. So, and this fellow actually said, I've told you this before. The very first time I heard this fellow talk, we came in and it was late. I'd ridden with my roommate and we got in. It was late. I sat down and this fellow was preaching exactly what I believe. Absolutely. Down the line. He was preaching salvation by the grace of God. He was preaching that God had predestined a people, that they had been given by the Father to the Son before the world ever was, that He had predestined the people to be conformed to the image of His only begotten Son. He had foreknown particular people that He would in the fullness of time bring from life, from death to life, and then in the end bring home to be with Him in heaven and immortal glory. And those that He chose, those that He set aside, He justified, He made right, and those that He justified, He will glorify. He has and will glorify Him. So there is a people left, a remnant left of God that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. And I said, man, I don't care if this is not an old Baptist church. This is all right. And I should have, if we'd have got there in time, I probably would have heard this fellow say, here's what some people believe. Because when he got through with that, he said, well, but I don't believe it. He said, I can't believe in a God that would choose one and leave the other. I can't believe in a God that would take this one and leave this one in their sin. I can't believe in a God, well, you don't believe in God then, right? You don't believe in God. You know what the Apostle Paul says about those that please God? Number one, you can't please God without faith. Number two, you must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. What the first part of that means is that He is who He says He is. The Lord says, I make light and create darkness. I, the Lord, do all of these things, that He has everything in His control. Do you believe that He's got everything? If He doesn't have everything in His control, then He's not God. Amen. And you say, how about sin and evil? Well, God's not the author of sin, but let me tell you, if He wants to put the brakes on it, He sure will, and He sure can. Amen. And if you don't believe God doesn't have control of that, we get the question all the time, why would God allow bad things to happen? Because if it seems good in His sight, that's part of the mystery of the will of God. It seems good in His sight. That's all that I can tell you. But let me also tell you here that God is on His throne.
Yes, He is.
And let me also say that if you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you believe He's a good man, if you believe He was a teacher, if you believe He was one of the prophets, you don't believe in Christ. Because in Him dwelleth all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know, that's what, and you know, I thank God, I have no idea why He does the way the things the way that He does. The Apostle Paul talks about the foolishness of preaching, that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Now, He didn't say foolish preaching, but by the foolishness of preaching, when God, an almighty God, an all-powerful God, could just have taken all of the knowledge that He wanted us to have and put it right in our hearts and in our minds. Why? He would use, as the Apostle Paul says, the foolishness of preaching to bring light to us. I have no idea why, but thank God that He does it. I was sitting here one day and I was looking and I was wondering why when this rich young ruler came up to Jesus and he said, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And I said, and the thing that Jesus says next, I couldn't understand it. He says, why call you me good? There's none good but God. And it bothered me so much. That bothered me so much. I said, wait a minute. What does He mean? Why call you me good? There's none good but God. He's already said that I and you and you and me, I and the Father and me, I and the Father are one. So how can He now say, why call you me good? There's none good but God. Well, it's because the rich young ruler came up and he said, good master. Good master, what good work must I do to inherit eternal life? See, the rich young ruler came he thought he came talking to a teacher. To a wise man. You know, one came to Jesus by night. We know you're of God because no one can do these miracles unless they be of God. Well, no, he was not of God. He was God and is God in the flesh. What the Apostle Paul says is, look, beware lest any man spoil you.
Good.
Through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What the Apostle Paul would want us to know, and what God impresses on us, is that He sent His only begotten Son down here to die for us, to take all of our sins on Him, to leave them up there on the cross, and then finally to ascend back up into heaven. And it wasn't just some man that did it. It wasn't just some teacher that did it. It was verily God in the flesh. And He says, and ye are complete in Him. Yeah, I can't get over that. How much more simple can you make it? And ye are complete in Him. You know, the lust of the flesh. When the Lord was questioned, he was asked what the greatest commandment was. He was tempted. He was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Well, there's 10. Well, there's actually more than 10. There are hundreds of commandments in the Scriptures. But they were probably referring to the 10, or it depended on how you want to divide them, 10 or 11, that the Lord wrote by His own finger on the tablets of stone and gave there to Moses on the mountain. And the Pharisees came and were tempting Him and said, which is the greatest commandment? He said, well, there's only one. to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, all thy strength. He says, if you want to understand anything else, if you need anything else to understand, then it's briefly summed up in this, to love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, all the law and the prophets hang on these. That is, to put nothing in front of your duty to God, to have Him above all things. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter whether it's social life or your marriage. It doesn't matter what it is, but to put God ahead of everything in your life. He says, and all the law and the prophets hang on this. And what we understand is that we always, because of this old sinful flesh, put ourselves before God. And we, you know, if you ask me, you say, do you ever put yourself before God? I'll say, well, no, of course not. You kidding me? No, I don't. But then I turn around and I do it time after time after time. I make excuses why I can't do things that the Lord has impressed on me. You know, I got the absolute strongest urge I have ever had. There was a fellow that was standing out in the median there on 29. And I got the urge to give that fellow some money. I had money in my pocket. But the problem was, or at least the excuse that I came up with, was that I was in this lane, and there was a whole other lane of traffic here, and then he was over there, and I didn't want this poor fella to have to walk out in traffic. And of course, the fella in front of me rolled down his window and waved a dollar at him, and he came on out. Then the light turned green, and everybody was beeping at me to go. I will tell you that I put myself before what God had urged me to do, and I find myself doing that time and time and time again. I look to find something and God's people all over the world. Let me tell you that in every nation, every kindred, every tribe, and every tongue, God has a people out here in all these congregations you see around about. They wouldn't be assembling themselves together if God hadn't moved on them. But I'll tell you that many of them have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, because they, as the apostle says, being ignorant of the righteousness of God, have gone about to set up their own righteousness. Everybody wants a part in their salvation. Everybody wants to have something to do with them being saved. Have you ever been asked, because I have, when did you give yourself to the Lord? I didn't give myself to the Lord. He wouldn't have wanted this, right? He wouldn't have wanted this. He came and took what He wanted. I've been asked when did you get saved? I don't know. But I will tell you that, I told my roommate that, when did you get saved? I don't know. And he said, what do you mean you don't know? And I said, well, I don't know. It's back there on the cross. Or it's back there when the Father gave me to the Son in a covenant of grace. Or it's when the Lord came to me by His Holy Spirit and He drew me from death and brought me to life. I don't know when it was. And he said, well, you have to know, but didn't you go up? And no, you've got it all wrong. Let me tell you, you're putting yourself in the place of God. In Him, you are complete. You know, this morning I was late. I couldn't find anything. And I had the checks that the church had wrote for the association, and I couldn't find them, even though they were laying right there on the counter. And it's always where they are. And when I found them, I stopped looking. And you say, well, of course you stopped looking because you found them. But many of God's children still look for something. When all, you know, one of my favorite accounts, and my favorite account in the scriptures is, of course, the one that I'm looking at the time, or the one that's on my mind. One of my favorite accounts in the scriptures is when Peter and James and John are up on the mountain and they see the Lord Jesus transfigured. And he is talking with two that appear there. One was Moses and the other was Elijah. And he was talking about his decease that would happen not many days hence in Jerusalem. And Peter, of course, being Peter and not knowing what to say, said the first thing that came to his mind, and he said, Lord, it is good for us to be here, and let us set up three tabernacles. Let's build three tabernacles, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And immediately they heard a booming voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.
Amen.
And they fell down on their faces. And when the voice and the thunder was gone away, they looked up. And I love what the account says. And they saw no man.
That's right.
Save
that's right.
Jesus.
That's right.
See, that's what we should see when we look for our salvation. When we look to the author and finisher of our salvation. When we look to who has wrought this change in us. We see no man save Jesus. In Him, we are complete. We don't need anything else. We don't need we certainly don't need the works of our hands.
Nope.
We don't need Brother Jonathan was talking about how many preachers were there with Paul when he was converted on the road. As far as I can tell, there was none. I can't tell if there were any disciples or anyone else. But you know who was there? It was the Spirit of God, and that's all that it takes. Who was there on the cross when the thief who had been railing against Jesus just minutes before said, Lord, remember me when thou come into thy kingdom. We were justly accused, but this man has done nothing wrong. Who was there to sprinkle that fellow with water? Who was there to take his confession? Let me tell you, the one, the only one that he needed was right there with him.
Amen.
And the apostle ends by saying, in whom you're also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. You know, the apostle, by the Holy Spirit here, doesn't just say by the operation of God, that we are risen together with Him by the operation of God. But what he says is by the faith of the operation of God. Do you know how many times God has failed?
Never.
He has never failed. Do you know how many times we have failed? How many times I have failed? I do it daily, multiple times a day. Multiple times a day I fail, but God has never failed. You know, when the promise that we are given here in the Scriptures, that He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. That is one that has never failed. That is one that has finished everything He started. That is one that has never done anything wrong. And so what we understand is that it's by the faith of the operation of God Almighty, who has raised Christ from the dead, who will raise us up together with Him. And we were talking about how morbid the old Baptists are after lunch. How morbid we are, because all of our songs talk about death and dying. And you know, I will tell you, I don't relish the process and the prospect of the process of dying. You know, some people will suffer. And some people will linger. I don't relish the process, but oh, let me tell you, to be absent from the body, it's to be present with the Lord.
Amen, brother.
And I can tell you that for us, and the Scripture says it best, so I won't try to make up my own words, that this hope that we have, this hope that we have been given, this earnest expectation that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If we earnestly believe that and earnestly cling to that, then there is nothing in this life that can scare us. There is nothing in this life that can terrorize us. And everything, we are more than conquerors. And that is a sign for others of our evident perdition. Are you crazy? What do you mean that you would rather die? Do you know what happens when I die? Oh yeah, well, you stop breathing and you get buried. I don't care what you do to this body. Now I say that, but the Lord does care, because He paid for it and He's coming back for it. But personally, you can cremate me, you can bury me, you can embalm me, you can not embalm. I really don't care, because that day when I'm absent from the body, I will be present with the Lord. No more to see through a glass darkly. No more to see just half the picture. But we will be like Him, and we will be satisfied. God bless my prayer.
Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What number is that? What is it?
5:11.
It is in the other one. I don't know if it is.
Love you, brother. God bless you, everyone. Thank the Lord.
It is
amazing how he delivers us to the witness.
Every time.
Thank you.
It's 5:11 in the
other one. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What number is it?
5:57.
5:57. Wonderful afternoon. We thank the Lord for blessing you, dear brethren, being able to hear the wonderful truth of salvation by grace. We'll stand and sing 557, published Open Door of the Church. There'll be one more here that has a desire to unite, follow the Lord in baptism, whatever your case may be. You let your feelings be made known. We stand and sing together, 557, nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Because we have fellowship with the Son, with the Father, with the Holy Spirit. All the other stuff of this world is just that. It's temporary at best. And do we have so much to be thankful for. We will be meeting in the morning here, Lord willing, at 10 o'clock. I know there's meetings going on around us. And again, let's pray for one another. Yeah. The Lord will just supply what we need. And all that can, please come and be with us both in the morning and in the afternoon. We'd love to have you. Phone lines are clear. Any announcements that you know of we need to make? All minds are clear, then we'll stand and look to the Lord in this mission. I'm going to ask Brother Tony Ford, if you would, to come on up. I know you don't want to.
Brother Cousin.
I love you. Pray the Lord to bless you.
Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each minister, Lord, that came. Some traveled a long ways to get here, Lord. Be with them as they go back home. Be with us all as we travel back on the highway. We thank you that, Lord, we believe you were here with us in this mess, in this building, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you sent your son to die. For our sins, for our wrongdoings. Lord, be with us as we travel through this life and do we meet with you in heaven, Lord. Be with us as we go back home. Be with us in our services tomorrow also. In Christ's name we ask, amen.
Amen.
Love you,
brother.
You
is he okay?
You should just leave it at that.